I'd like to get back into something we were sharing last Wednesday night, or we began to share last Wednesday night. And so if you would, go with me in your Bible to the, let's just exhort about something a little bit, and then we'll get into some scriptures. How's that? We started talking about the best, getting God's best. Yes. Anybody get anything out of that?
Yes.
You remember back that far? That was a whole week ago. You remember that far back?
Yeah.
But getting God's best, or walking in God's best, or the best that God has for us, in other words.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so I want to get back into that tonight, because that's just something that just keeps stirring up in my spirit.
Amen.
And I'm not done with it. If I get done with it, we'll go on to something else. But we actually started in the book of Exodus. Why don't you go there? That'd be a good place to start. The book of Exodus, I think, was maybe one of the first scriptures we went to. I don't recall, but it is the one I want to start with here tonight. Exodus chapter number 23. And while you're turning there, you know some of the scriptures we went to, and I'll just refer to some of them while you're going to Exodus 23. But there's verses that talk about things like the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God.
Yeah.
Can you say that out loud? The good,
good,
the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Amen. Then there's scriptures that talk about if you be, Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land, the Amplified. Maybe it's not the Amplified, but another translation says the best of the land.
Amen.
The best of the land.
Yes.
So there's the best that God has for you is what we're referring to. That scripture talks about it. And so then we read scriptures like, you know, the parable of the sower, where it talks about the four kinds of ground.
Yes.
And where the ground,
yeah.
Our spirits are ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Every human being is ground.
Yeah.
But there's four kinds of ground. There's good. There's the, you know, the wayside ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground.
Yeah.
And then there's the good ground.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen. Everybody's one of those.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's one kind of dirt or another.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah. It's true.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we want to become better ground.
Yes.
And so those kind of, like the wayside ground didn't bring forth anything. The stony ground, it brought forth, I think it had a little bit, and then it didn't even produce, but it just withered away. And then the thorny ground was choked out.
Yes.
It might have produced a little something. I know a little about ground that has weeds in it, or crops that have weeds in it.
Yes.
It might bring forth a little bit. It won't bring forth what it could, because the weeds got all the moisture and sometimes shaded out the crop and didn't get enough sun.
Right.
So it might bring forth a little something. So that's the third. And then you got the good ground. The good ground, he said, brings forth 30, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. And so, can you see there's degrees of fruit bearing there?
Yes.
Yes.
Degrees of fruit bearing.
Yes.
And God's not the one that determines the degree of fruit bearing in those soil, you know, different kinds of soil.
Yes.
We're the ones that determine that.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
If you got the cares of life, he said the weeds were the cares of life. Thorns, which
yeah.
is weeds, cares of life. Well, if you got the cares of life, you can get those out.
Yes.
And become better ground, right?
Amen.
And all that's really talking about the degree of fruit you get from God's word.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
And so I know people that get sidetracked by a fence.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And a fence got in there and it choked the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. If you're not careful, that's dangerous ground.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Very dangerous ground. Anyway,
yeah.
But so that's... That's another scripture that talks about different levels of fruit bearing. Then you've got the same thing, different scripture, John chapter number 15. It talks about, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Ye abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll bring forth much fruit. And you go through there and you'll find five different levels of fruit bearing in that 15th chapter of John's gospel, especially down through verse 16. You got no fruit. You got fruit, you got more fruit, then you got much fruit, and then fruit that remains.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Where are you?
Come on.
Well, wherever you are, you can go from where you are to the next level.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
And as you go to from one degree of level, or one level to the next, you bring forth more fruit.
Right.
You get more of what God intended for your life.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So then we read things like in the Old Testament, we read verses like, this is in, I don't know if I have this even written down. I think it's Deuteronomy 11. But anyway, it talks about days of heaven on earth. I said days. Say that out loud. God's will, is that I have days of heaven on earth. Amen. A days of heaven on earth means just that it's a heavenly life.
Yes.
Praise God. That's God's best.
Yes.
Then we read there's what's called the abundant life.
Yeah.
Then we read there's the first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You ever read that passage?
Yes.
That's talking about degrees of progression of bearing fruit.
Yes.
So, and you can see many scriptures that bring it out in many different ways. It talks about in the parable of the sower, even the good ground brings 30, 60, and 100 fold. Different degrees of fruit bearing in the good ground. So you can be good ground, but still have more potential than what you're getting. Praise God. And so what we're really talking about is going for the maximum.
Yes.
Going for the full potential.
Yes.
Going for God's best.
Yes.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, you should want God's best. You should want to get it all. I mean, Jesus' blood was shed to get it to you. Why would you leave it on the table?
Yes.
Amen. And so all those things are like, let's just take, we used the example last week, last Wednesday night, about moving from divine healing over into divine health.
Yes.
Divine health is better.
Yes.
It's the best.
Yes.
When it comes to your physical body.
Yes.
It's the best God has for you.
Yes.
Well, actually, the best God has for you is a glorified body.
Yes.
But you can't get that by your faith now.
Yes.
You just have to just stay faithful.
Yes.
And let the rapture happen. You know what I'm talking about? Amen.
Oh,
amen. Praise God. That's going to be better than even,
yes,
you know, living in divine health.
Yes.
That body won't even be mortal.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
Yep.
It'll be immortal.
Yes.
Praise God. Which we ought to teach on that sometime. That immortal body is amazing. But it'll be like Jesus' body whenever he was resurrected. And his body walked right through the wall.
Yeah.
Amen. You can travel at the speed of light in that body. No wonder you're going to be able to rule and reign. Because if something's going on down here on the earth over your domain,
yeah,
you know, you can have rulership over 10 cities. You know, like he said, be thou, you've been faithful over a few things,
yes,
have rulership over 10 cities,
yeah,
or whatever. If you got rulership over 10 cities,
yeah,
and something's going on down there, it's not supposed, yeah, to go on, you can be there in a split,
yeah,
second.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing? Whoa! No wonder you can rule and reign. Anyway, that's all free of charge. But so that's divine health as opposed to divine healing. We thank God for both of them. But God's best is what I'm shooting for.
Yeah.
Now, have I always got God's best? But no, I'm shooting for it. And I'm getting a whole lot more shooting for it than shooting for nothing and getting it all. Now, so there's a lot of things we could get into there. Another thing about God's best is living, or actually then also dying without sickness or disease.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now somebody said, Pastor, you're holding the bar too high. Well, I'm not the one that said it. Exodus, did you find Exodus 23 and verse 25 and 26? You'll serve the Lord your God and he'll bless your bread and your water. Look at this. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Away from the midst of thee. Well, let me keep on reading. There nothing be cast there young nor be barren. See, that's miscarriages. Nothing cast there young nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Amen. Now, I want you to emphasize, look at that verse 25, that last phrase. I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. Somebody said, is that possible? Well, I guess not. Let's just scratch that verse out of the Bible. I guess that's maybe God made a mistake. Where sickness isn't even in our midst.
Come on.
See, we haven't thought much about,
yeah,
that.
Come on.
We thought about divine healing, and rightly so. Thank God for divine healing, right? But there's something even better. Where there's not even any sickness amongst us. Have I got that all? Have I got that perfectly in my life? No. But I'm shooting for it. And I'm getting a whole lot more shooting for it than I am just saying whatever will be, will be. Amen. So this isn't a service to condemn anybody. But it's a service to raise up our sights to something better. So now he said here, I'll take sickness away from this city. If there's sickness is taken away from the midst of us, then there'd be none among us sick. Right? And this is under the old covenant. If we had of a better covenant established upon better promises, then this has got to be a part of the new covenant. It's got to be a part of our covenant. Yeah. And we talked about that. Amen. Now come over to John's gospel, or excuse me, not the gospel, the epistle of 1 John. Hallelujah. The epistle of 1 John. So we're going to look at this a little bit, and then we're going to ask ourselves, well, what do you have to do to walk in this? Because no use just seeing what's available. We might as well find out how to do it. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so, what did I say? 1 John chapter number 5. Don't know if I told you which chapter. But verse number 18. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. That doesn't mean that nobody that's a Christian or nobody that's born again sins. It means you just can't go on practicing it. Many other translations will bring that out. Doesn't practice sin, in other words. Whatsoever is born of God, or whosoever is born of God, sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, anybody begotten of God?
Yes.
That's born of God. Keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not.
Amen.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Is that possible? I'm asking you a question. I mean, you're theologians, I know. So is that possible? Is there anything in the Word about that? Well, this is the Word.
Yeah.
I read verses like that and they challenge me to the core. Because I look around my life and I see things that still aren't God's best.
Come on.
Now let's go over to the area of finances. There's many areas of our lives. There's our minds, there's our families, our marriages, our children, so forth and so on. But let's look at the area of finances. God said in his word, you keep my commandments and so forth. He said, I'll set you on high. Deuteronomy 28. Remember that verse number one? I'll set you on high. I'll set you on high. And he mentions what on high is. He's talking about financially.
Yeah.
And one of the things he said is you'll lend and not borrow.
Yes.
That's God's best.
Yes.
Paying cash for everything.
Come on.
Now, does that mean it's wrong to borrow? No. No, if he said we lend and not borrow, then we'd be causing somebody to sin to lend to them. Right? So it's not wrong to lend.
Right.
It's just mighty, to borrow, excuse me. It's not wrong to borrow. Right. It's just mighty expensive.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And there's a better, something better than that.
Amen.
Now, are we looking down our nose at one another? No. But we're just not going to lull ourselves to sleep and say, well, isn't it wonderful where we're walking in God? Well, sure, beats where we were. Because we're progressing.
Yes, amen.
But we got to know what God's best is.
Come on, amen.
Or else we'll stop short. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't agree with everything Dave Ramsey says, but boy, when he talks about getting out of debt, you need to listen to him.
Come on.
I mean, all the things you can do with that interest money.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anyway, anywho, like the young people say. So I guess they still do. Praise God. They say something anyway. So he said, look at that. First John 5:18, keepeth himself and that wicked one touches him not. There's a place in God the devil can't touch you. That's not getting sick and then getting healed. This is he can't even make you sick. This is beyond just some of the places we've learned to walk. Thank God. I'm not poo-pooing any place we've learned to walk. We got to progressively. Nobody gets to this place overnight. But as you progress, and we're all progressing, as you keep on progressing, there's a place in God where the devil just simply can't touch you. Otherwise, why would Psalm 91:1 say what it says? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abide under, King James says, the shadow of the Almighty. You look it up, and the word shadow means, see, God's light. There is no shadow. There's no variables and no shadow of turning with it. A light bulb doesn't have a shadow unless something's standing between it. You know? So God is light.
Yes.
He doesn't have a shadow.
Right.
He said he that dwells in the secret place abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He doesn't have a shadow. Look it up. It means defense.
Defense. That's right.
Protected place.
Yes.
There's a protected place.
Yes. Come on.
And you go down to verse 7, 8, 9 of Psalm 91. In the Amplified Classic, it says, in that place, you're inaccessible.
That's right.
Woo. There's a place.
Yes.
There's a place.
Yes.
Woo, I want to know about that place.
Yes.
I want to know how to live there. Because
yes.
He didn't say walk in and walk out. He said dwell.
Dwell.
I've been in and I've been out.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to stay in more.
Yes.
Where I can't be touched.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I mean, one thing is don't live in sin.
Yeah.
You'll notice what he said there, he that is begotten of God keepeth him and sinneth not, yeah. Sinneth not. So don't let sin go unaddressed.
Right.
That's why Ephesians 4:26-27 talks about be angry and sin not, don't let the sun go down upon your head. You can be mad and not sin, but it's mighty easy to sin when you're mad.
Yes.
That's why I said, be angry and sin not. Then he said, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's not down yet. I'm still going to stay mad. No. That's not what that means. Amen. Praise God. I must have said that by inspiration. Somebody needed to say. No, it means don't let time pass.
Yes.
Get that right. Amen. Because if that's unaddressed, the sin part, if that's unaddressed, then because he said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, there's a place where he has no place. But he's saying, here, don't do this. This will give him place.
Come on.
If you find yourself on the territory of the devil, get back off of that and get back under the blood just as quick as you can. Just as quick as you can. Well, if I have to repent, I look bad. Well, it sure beats the devil beating you up.
Exactly.
It's dangerous having the door open to the devil.
Yeah, come on.
Especially you start walking in some light and doing some damage in his kingdom.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Yes.
Amen. You know, when it comes to walking in love, yeah, I'm going to go there a little bit. Husbands and wives walking in love. You know, because it's easiest to get out of love with somebody you're closest to. You see more their flesh than anybody else's. Because we come to church, we all clean up pretty nice. Hi, how you doing? Oh, God, it's so wonderful. Looks like they've been smiling all week, praising God all week. Praise God, oh, we're all victorious. Woo-hoo-hoo. We clean up good. We got cologne on. We smell good.
Yeah.
We put stuff on our hair. We all look good.
Yeah.
Praise God. But then we go home with that one, and they don't always look good. And then they're not always... They don't always smell like a rose. I'm talking about attitudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why, y'all laughing? Y'all know. Amen. And so it's easy to get out of love.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, so there's a standoff. Who's going to repent first? I heard a groan on the front row. I don't know if it came from... Who's going to repent first? Who's going to humble themselves first? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The first to humble themselves, the first to repent is the humblest, and the first to forgive is the happiest.
That's so true. That's so good.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but you can do both. You can repent and forgive and be humble and happy. Or you can hold a grudge and be proud and irritated. Hallelujah. I've not been at your house, so I don't know who I'm preaching at, but let's move on because there's too much conviction there. Praise the Lord. So there's a place. Isn't that what 1 John 5:18 says? There's a place. Isn't that what Isaiah, Psalm 91 says, verse 1? There's a place. I think we skim by that and think, oh, isn't that good? And don't realize, wait a minute. Why is the devil having access here and here and here? Well, it's not always sin, so don't take me wrong on that. You understand? Sometimes just we don't know.
Yeah.
Now, praise the Lord. I didn't intend on spending this much time on this. But I've always been interested in this place. And to live here, you have to follow some scriptural guidelines. Walking in love is one. We just mentioned that. But think about something here. There's a place to live. This place that I'm talking about is a place redemption has provided for us. Amen. It's available in Christ. I said, it's available in Christ. I said, it's available in Christ. I'm not getting the conviction in there. It's available. And I'm telling you, this sometimes gets me in my prayer. This subject, I get to meditating on it like I've been lately. It gets me in my prayer closet. It's like, oh, Jesus, teach me about this. Teach me about this. Where every area of my life is untouchable.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm receiving God's best in every area of my life.
Yes.
Just living heaven on earth.
Yes. Amen.
I need to learn some things.
Yes.
Now I'm not poo-pooing myself because I've progressed and progressed and progressed. But I'm just still seeing some areas I'm not satisfied with yet. I know there's more is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So this is a place available for us in redemption. This place is really a place under the blood.
Yes.
You remember in the Old Testament in Exodus, that whenever the death angel went through Egypt in the book of Exodus, they put the blood on their doorposts, which was the blood of a sheep, but it represented Jesus' blood.
Yeah.
But that blood, that wherever that death angel, which was not an angel of God, it was a demon spirit.
Right. Yeah.
The death angel saw the blood and passed over that house.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, this isn't the nicest neighborhood where we're in here in this church. It's not the nicest neighborhood in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
But we've been kept.
That's right.
Yes.
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 And if you could see in the spirit, there's a line of angels on the property.
Yes.
All around this property.
Hallelujah.
And it's by believing that, saying that.
Yes.
I mean, there's other things involved, but there's also a bloodline all around this.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And it might happen on our left and our right, but it'll not come near us.
Yes. Amen.
Only with our eyes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. All right, so this place is available, redemption made it available, and the people that live in this place, they have a different experience in life than every other man.
Praise God.
I said praise God. Now, during COVID, amen, we claimed that. Where our authority, where we had authority, I don't have authority everywhere.
Yeah, right.
In our lives, daycare here, so forth and so, we claim that.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so there's a place, like I said, but our experience should be totally different than the world's experience. That's what Psalm 91 is talking about, where you see it over here, you see it over there, but it won't come near you. Your experience is totally different. You know, people hear that and say, what do you think? You're better than somebody else? No. I just know what the word says is ours.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And so there's a place that, like I said, redemption is provided. And for what God did for us in Christ and the new birth, he put us in a place where Satan doesn't have access to us.
Yes.
Praise God. And it's possible to live in that place.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I don't mean the devil won't try to get to you.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of times, I just think, too many times, actually.
Yeah.
Too many times, it shouldn't be that so many things are going on in some of our lives.
Yeah.
Something isn't right. We're not dwelling in the secret place.
Right.
Amen. And there's a whole lot of things I want to talk about concerning the secret place. But this requires a certain lifestyle. It requires that you move from being a Christian to a disciple. A disciple is a learner or a student of the Word of God. They are studiers. They have submitted themselves to the schooling of the Spirit who schools us into the Word. And they submit themselves to certain Christian disciplines, which are basically consist of doing what the Word says. Am I preaching all right? It's pretty simple, but we're going to get into something here before we wrap this up. So I believe that you have to be willing to let the Spirit of God school you in the Word. That's why you come to church on Wednesday night. Because you're interested in learning how to live more in a protected place. And have the good of the land. Have the best God has for you in every area. Amen. So you have to believe that, first of all, this is even available. That's why I'm taking the time here at the beginning. You have to believe that this is even available.
Yes.
We've had testimonies here of accidents. I'm thinking of this was, I'm trying to remember who it was. Quite a number of years ago was coming up. I think we were down somewhere south. Dr. Frayne was down preaching down there or something. And there was a bad rainstorm. Really, really bad. Really, it's one of those you pull over to the side of the road. Coming back that night. And one particular lady, she was driving. And all of a sudden, you know, because you can't see. She probably should have been off the side of the road, but she's still driving. She just came on a vehicle. I think it was either stopped or maybe some cars had already collided or something. And there's just no way, you know, to avoid it.
Right.
Except her car went over to the side, went right beside it, and kept on going.
Yep. Come on. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Come on.
Hallelujah. She called out the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell a lot of testimonies tonight, but it's all good. But this requires a lifestyle of being a doer of the Word. It requires a lifestyle of watchfulness. It requires a lifestyle of a spiritual disciplines. Renewing your mind. Amen. But let's get into how this works. Can you? And this is huge. And I can't get into all of it tonight. Let me just say, there's a lot of things that are involved. You know, you just take a list of things that you might could start talking about, like we already talked about walking in love. You have to start talking about walking by faith. Can you say amen? Because faith is the way you access all of these things. You have to start talking about letting the Spirit of God school you into these things. Which I want to spend some time talking about tonight. You have to start talking about following God's plan for your life. Because Pastor Dancy said it's this way, and I could get into the Word on it, but you know enough of the Word. I'll just pass by it quick. We may get into it later. We'll see how the Lord leads us. But tell my people that long life is connected to my plan. Long life is connected to my plan. Because you go down through Psalm 91, verse 1 says, dwell in the secret place, and that's a defended place. And the rest of the chapter is protection and safety for every area of your temporal, physical, mortal life.
Yes, amen.
Safety from accidents, diseases, you know, all sorts of trauma, hurt, danger, damage, destruction. You go through Psalm 91, and that all has to do with your temporal life, your mortal, you know what I mean by temporal life? All the physical areas of your life, your own body, your home, your car, no accidents and things like that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But then in that safe place, you get outside of that, you get outside of love, you get outside of the plan of God, you get outside of, you start talking wrong. Talking danger, talking destruction or accidents, or talking fear, is going to open the door.
That's right.
So there's a lot of things. But I want to, this is what the Lord put on my heart to share with you about tonight. And that is learning to follow the Spirit.
Amen.
Learning. Yes. Learning to follow the Spirit. Say it out loud, learning to follow the Spirit. Because we've learned some things about faith, using our faith, But I'm reminded of a story, a man, this must have been 20, this could have been not quite 20 years ago, maybe 18 years ago or something. I have to look it up for sure. Some of you are a little familiar with this story. You were here. We had a man here in the congregation that went on vacation. Well, he went by himself on a motorcycle trip. And he's a man of faith. He's been a part of the church. We got here. He was here. He was a part of the church all the way up. I don't remember what year this was, but probably four or five years after we got here. I remember him going around telling different people. He said it for a couple of weeks, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to take a motorcycle trip. And he was up somewhere in the western states, some of the mountains. And he was going to take that trip. And everybody he talked to had a witness of the Spirit. No, don't go. It's dangerous. They just had a witness.
Yeah.
His wife had the witness.
Yeah.
Pastor Debbie and I, he came and talked to Pastor Debbie and I. We both had the witness.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Others of you had the witness. And I don't know, I think his wife talked to him. And did you talk to him? But we never, I guess you and I, neither of us said anything. Sometimes you get unction, you got to say something. Sometimes, Brother Hagin said this, he said, I usually don't say anything unless I've got more than just the witness, where I get more of the more authoritative voice of the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if that's, you know, I usually follow that unless the witness is so strong, I can't hardly stand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I don't seldom say everything I know. I know probably 99% more than what I talk about.
Sure.
So I didn't say anything. My wife didn't say anything, but his wife did.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. She probably should have, and she did.
Yeah.
And said something about, I just have a sense it's not safe. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, if you knew anything about him, he's a little stubborn. I've been accused of that, so I'm not going to go any further on that. I remember Brother Hagin said one time, he was at a restaurant and they had raw oysters. He blessed the food in the name of Jesus, blessed the food, and ate the raw oysters and got as sick as a dog. He said, well, Lord, he said, now something's wrong here. I don't get sick. What happened? He said, you didn't tell me not to eat these, so I'm just going to believe God. He said, no, you're not. Anybody heard this story? No, you're not going to believe God. Well, you didn't say not to. I'm going to believe God. He said, I sure did say to you not to eat them. He said, I didn't pick anything up. He said, I said it through your wife. Because she was sitting there and she said, I wouldn't eat those if I were you. Why am I standing over here? I don't know. That's not preaching against eating raw oysters. It's just if you have the witness, you better follow that witness.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All the wives ought to say amen. I'm preaching.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for all those offerings. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Now, there's another side of that, too. Called nagging. Anyway, we won't get on that. There went all my offerings, I'm telling you. Amen. Well, hallelujah. But learning to follow. You know Romans 8:14-16, right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Yes.
And then His Spirit bears witness, you know, King James says in the 16th verse, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's how we're led.
Yes.
You don't have to wait for an angel choir.
That's right.
Or a hot flash or a cold flash.
No, thank you.
Amen. To be led of the Spirit or a voice out of heaven.
Right.
Or a dream or a vision.
Right.
Or a visitation of an angel to be led of the Spirit. The primary way is the inner witness. Somebody said, I know all this. I do too, but boy, I sure enjoyed it this afternoon. Feeding on it again. Now, I told you about that man. He went on that motorcycle trip. Now what he kept saying to his wife, no, I'm believing God. Well, We believe and believe in God.
Yes.
But see, this statement, you can't ever forget this statement. You can't separate faith from being led by the Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. You can't separate faith from being led by the Spirit. In other words, if you have the inner witness not to do something, you can't use your faith to do it.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
That's good.
Now, you can go through all the motions and tell everybody you're believing God. Amen. And make the right confession.
Yeah.
But if you know in here the Holy Ghost is checking you, don't do that. Don't do that. And you override that, you're on dangerous ground.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And then things happen.
Yes.
And people say, see, that faith business, that doesn't always work. Oh, yeah, it always works.
Yeah, it does.
You just have to come to church long enough to learn how to make it work.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
How to make it work. And don't just take one isolated Bible truth and try to make that the whole Bible. That's not the whole Bible. There's a lot of things that have to go along with walking by faith. I've had people tell me, I remember back in healing school, people used to say this. They'd say, you're talking about faith for healing. You're emphasizing, the natural side of life. God's more interested in the spiritual side of life and getting to know him and fellowship with him. And I said, if you only knew how this message of faith has helped me to know God so much better in every way possible, you wouldn't say things like that. You know what I'm talking about? Because this life of faith, it's a whole life. It's not just one area of this little narrow, believe it and say it. Amen. It's trusting the inner witness down on the inside. Amen. So this man, he went on that, I think some of you know the story. He went on that trip and we got a call, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something like that. He had an accident. He came around a corner. He was coming. I don't know if he's going up or down, but he's coming around a corner on a mountain, and another car was over in his lane or whatever, and hit him head on, and he was instantly killed. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I mean, not amen, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The point is, somebody said, "Well, I thought he's believing God." Well, obviously, there's an inner witness not to do it because everybody else around him is picking it up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes God's mercy, he'll if you're not paying attention, he'll have people come along and say something to you.
That's true. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You know, if you're getting ready to marry somebody, and when everybody in the church you tell you're getting ready to marry them, they go, you might want to go back to your prayer closet. Because they got the Holy Ghost, too.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. That's the truth. Amen. Amen. Okay, let me tell you another story. Brother Hagin told this story. There was a, he knew the minister that had died. I don't remember old age or whatever it was. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But him and some other ministers were going to the funeral. And one of the ministers that was going to the funeral, this actually happened. This is not just a story. he had to fly on a private aircraft because because of his schedule. He had to preach in certain places, so he hired a private aircraft. And so they went out, his wife, it was early, he had to take off early to go. He was actually preaching this man's funeral. And so wherever they were flying, he had to get in the plane early and go. It was so early that they had two children, and the children were young. And it was too early for them to be up, so they just gathered them up in their pajamas and their blankets gathered up the blankets in the bed and just put them in the back seat. And the two children were still sleeping on the ride to the airport, and then Daddy kissed them goodbye. They're still sleeping, and he got in the plane, took off. And Mama sat there in the car with the two babies sleeping while the plane taxied down the runway, getting ready to take off. And about the time the plane took off, those two children, both of them, sat up straight up in the back of the car. Straight up in the back of the car. Said, "Mommy, Mommy, Daddy's not on that plane, is he? Daddy's not on that plane." "Yeah, you know, Daddy had to go preach so-and-so's funeral." Doesn't he know he's going to crash into that mountain? They stood there and watched that plane crash right into a mountain. In other words, they couldn't get elevation for whatever reason. How do those kids know that? Inner witness.
Yes.
No other way. I mean, some sort of inner knowing, inner witness.
Yeah. Wow.
You liking story time with Pastor tonight? Amen. Well, he was a faith man. He believed in all the blessings of God like we talk about. He's a Pentecostal preacher. Preached all these things. Why didn't, if the children knew it, why didn't the parents know it? Obviously, mama didn't know it. Daddy obviously didn't know it. He's on the plane. He wouldn't be on the plane if he knew it.
Right. Come on.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
It's because, I like the way Brother Hagin said it. He said, it's because the reason that they, parents didn't know it was because, number one, they hadn't been taught to follow that inward knowing.
Yes.
Second of all, he said, plus they went through that age where man's rational mind tends to take the dominion rather than, like children, they're much more sensitive to spiritual things.
Yeah.
But and until they go that stage, where, through that stage, where the rational mind kind of takes the throne. And really, you need to be a person who doesn't let that stage of life develop you to where your mind is trained to not listen to what's down in here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Because why? You can't separate faith from being led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. I'll tell you another story. Because I have a lot of scriptures I can go to, but stories tell the same truth. Brother, I believe it was Brother Keith Moore told this story. There was a lady came to him in one of the meetings he was preaching years ago. And she said, "Could I have a question I'd like you to answer if you could." He said, "Well, I will if I can." She said, "Well, I started getting a hold of the Word however many years ago and really started understanding my covenant and what my rights are and started claiming my rights and found out about divine protection and, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm coming, you might have life, have more abundantly." Started claiming divine protection, Psalm 91, all those things. And she said, "I was downtown, I think it was actually in Kansas City, if I remember the story right, downtown Kansas City shopping." And she said, I claimed protection that morning. But she said, "While I'm shopping, I was, I don't think somebody mugged her, but he grabbed her purse. Maybe there was a struggle or whatever, and got away with her purse." And he said, or she said, "My question is, I was standing in faith. Why did that happen?" Well, you know, people ask you questions and you don't know the answer unless God tells you the answer. You don't live with people. But he said, he just dipped down into his spirit. And this question came up to ask her. "Did you have any," and he asked her this, "did you have any premonition before you went?" You said, "I've heard this story again." Yeah, but it's still, it's so good. "I've heard this before." Yeah, so good. So good, so good, so good.
Yes, come on.
"Any premonition before you went not to go?" She said, "Oh, yeah." But she said, "I'm a faith woman. I just said, no, in the name of Jesus, devil, you will." No, see, she override it. You can't separate faith from being led by the Spirit.
That's good. That's so good.
Can't separate faith from being led. So people, they say, "Well, I'm a faith person," and the Spirit of God will bear witness with their spirit. Now, listen to me. Because they're believing God.
Yep. Come on. That's good.
You get that?
Yeah.
That's, they opened the door through saying what the covenant said. They opened the door to the blessings of God, and they opened the door to the Holy Ghost to lead them and steer them away from what Satan wants to do and over into what God wants to them to have. Does that make any sense?
Yes, sir.
But people aren't taught. They just think, "Well, I'm a faith person.
Right.
I make good confession, so it'll all work out." Not if you have a witness, don't go.
Yeah. Come on.
Can you see why people miss God's best sometimes? They override the inner witness. We got to be trained. You know, we read that, or I don't think we didn't turn and read it, but we quoted there Romans 8, 14, 16, especially verse 14. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God." Say this out loud, "as many as are led." Now, this might sound like I'm splitting theological hairs, but listen very carefully. He did not say, "as many as I lead." Wait. That's the same thing, isn't it? No. He can lead you and you don't follow.
Yes.
As many as are led, not as many as I lead.
So good.
He can lead you, but that's different than you following.
Yes.
Are led means they're following that leading.
Yes, that's so good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I heard somebody years ago did a study. This was years ago. This is probably 30 years ago. Did a study. And after they learned about this inner witness and the teachings of the Word of God along this line and following the Spirit, they did a study. They went to Christians. They just exclusively did the study with Christians. Christians who had, you know, family members killed, and all kinds of that kind of situations. They did a survey of all those people they could find along that line where somebody was killed in an accident, plane crash, some things like that. And the survey was a number of things, but was there any premonition, any sense of danger before the accident, whether it be the person themselves that had the accident or was killed or somebody close to them? Was there any premonition? The results were 100% of the time, yes.
Come on.
That's God being faithful.
Yes. Amen.
I said, that's God being faithful.
Amen.
I said, that's God being faithful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, what was the problem? They weren't taught to follow that.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, maybe they just didn't know that that was how God was leading them.
Yes.
Or they didn't recognize it, or they just said, well, I'm going to believe God,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And overrode it.
Yeah.
But God was faithful.
Yes.
How many of you know they'll stand before the throne of God,
yeah,
and he'll say, I tried to stop you.
Yeah.
Well, if it's really dangerous like that, why didn't he give me something more? He didn't promise you anything more. Amen. He didn't promise you a dream. He didn't promise you an angel choir or a visitation of an angel or a voice out of heaven. He did promise you as many as are led by the Spirit.
Yes.
I bear witness by my spirit.
Yes.
He promised you the inner witness.
Yes.
That might be all you're going to get.
Yeah. Yes.
Trust it.
Yes.
Learn to trust it.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to not do something out of fear. You got to learn to identify. Is this fear telling me not to do this, or is this an inner witness? See, the inner witness won't produce fear.
Yes.
But it will produce a sense of alarm.
That's good.
Or a sense of danger.
Yes.
Not fear, but an awareness.
Yes.
See, God's not giving us a spirit of fear.
That's right.
We getting any answers tonight?
Yes.
We got to learn this. I remember I was years ago, Pastor Debbie and I were down in a church. We were working at helping there at the healing center, Kenneth Hagin Ministry Prayer and Healing Center. And there was a church in Cushing, Oklahoma they were between pastors. And they wanted to know if there's anybody from Rhema that could come on Sundays and preach. Well, they wanted Sundays and Wednesdays, but we could only go. They asked us, and we said, sure, we'll, you know, if you're called to preach and the door cracks open, you stick your foot in it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't sit around and say, well, I don't know why I'm not getting out in the ministry.
All right.
Well, the door cracked open. You didn't stick your foot in it.
Come on.
Just because it wasn't a crowd of 300,000 people. Anyway, so we were down there every Sunday. They wanted us every Wednesday. We couldn't go Wednesday nights. So most Sundays. And so we were down there. And in the process of time, we found out why the pastor left. And they wanted us to be the pastor. And I said, no, you wouldn't like me as your pastor. Well, we like you. I mean, you're just preaching good. We like you. I said, you wouldn't like me if I was your pastor. Because if I was your pastor, I'd have to change a whole lot of things.
Right.
First thing I'd do is fire all you unscriptural deacons.
Come on. Yeah.
Strifeful. Divided, argue and fussing.
No.
I said, you're all unscriptural.
Yeah.
They didn't like that, so. Amen. So, but anyway, I said, they had a question. One of them had a question. There's another man here preaching on Wednesday nights or teaching. He's saying some things that we were just going to ask you about because we weren't sure about it. I said, what is it? And he said, well, he's preaching, he's talking on prayer and he's teaching on roaring in the Spirit. I said, well, okay, what's your question?
Uh-huh.
Well, we wanted to know if that's, we know you had been down at Rhema and heard all the teachings, Brother Hagin teaching, a lot of verses that they go through, anything that he said about this roaring in the Spirit. Because he was saying, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the Lion roars.
Right.
Well, sure he is. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
But he doesn't roar anyway. And so he said, My question is whether you'd heard anybody teaching on that at Rhema. And, you know, and maybe you could help us. I said, well, what, why, I said, this is the way I said it. Why do you ask? He looked at me funny like, well, I just told you why I asked him. But he repeated the whole thing. Well, we didn't know if you had heard anything. I said, why did you ask? I asked that 3 or 4 times. Why do you ask? Then finally he stopped and said, why do you keep saying that? I said, because you're not getting what I'm saying. I'm not asking you. What I'm asking you is, why do you even have a question about it? He said, something doesn't sit right with me.
Come on.
I said, that's what I'm trying to get to. You don't need to ask me. You already know in your spirit something isn't right. But just because you don't know what the word says along that line, you're not sure if you can trust what you're picking in your spirit. Trust what you get in your spirit. Trust this.
Yes. Amen.
It'll avoid a lot of wrong doctrine. Some of you will stop listening to people on YouTube if you'd listen to this. I mean, some of you come up and say, such and such a program, I watch it, I just love it. I didn't say it, but I went home and told Debbie, they don't even know that one man on there is a false prophet.
Wow. Come on.
I think now's a good time to quit, don't you? It'll come out. Just because it hasn't come out yet doesn't mean I'm not telling you the truth. I could tell you, if you knew what I know. Oh, dear Jesus. Anyway, stand up with me. Stand to your feet. Learn to trust the inner witness. That's why some people aren't getting God's best. They keep overriding God's witness, the witness of the Spirit. Now, I maybe remember Psalm 78, verse number 41. You might not remember the reference, but you'll remember this verse. It says, Psalm 78, verse 41, they turned back, tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, you can limit God. What will happen if you limit God? You don't get His best. I said, you don't get His best. How can you limit God? Well, there's various ways, but one of them is just keep violating the inner witness.
Come on.
That'd be a way to limit God.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad I came to church tonight.
Yes, sir.
Pay attention to this.
Yes.
Pay attention to this. It'll cause you to avoid certain situations, and rather than have to be delivered out of it, you just totally miss it altogether.
Yes.
I'm talking about the devil's activity and what he has planned for your life. Just totally miss it altogether.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Tell your life, say this out loud. We are kept people.
We are kept people.
And we're learning.
We're learning.
To follow. God. Follow the Spirit. And obey.
And to
not override what we know on the inside. Amen, amen, amen. I've had people tell me, we got to learn this. I've had people tell me, well, this is not the inner witness, this is God. See, sometimes out of God's mercy, He'll speak real loud to people because He knows they're hard-headed. I don't know who I'm talking to. It must be somebody. I remember some people sat and while we're preaching, I think this might have happened in Bible schools, somewhere around that phase of the ministry here, but some sitting there and said, God came and said to me, and while you were preaching, because Debbie and I were both up here that night, while both of you were preaching, don't leave those two. Heard an audible voice, turned around and see who said it. Don't leave those two.
Yeah.
Came up crying and said, the Lord just said this to me. I just want you to know I love you. That's usually a warning to me. What'd they do within a few years? Left us two. Not that we're crying about it. It's not my life. Amen. People do what they want. They're going to do what they want anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. They got into all kinds of trouble. Struggles in their marriage, struggles in their finances, major struggles in their bodies. major struggles in their bodies. What, did I do that because I'm not nice? No, I didn't do it at all. I wasn't the one that said, don't leave those two. He's their Lord, not me. Amen. See, it's not that difficult. Pretty easy. Praise God. Somebody shout and get this service. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going for God's best. I'm going for God's best. Praise God. Praise God. Well, do you like the stories tonight? I don't usually tell that many stories, but it was just story time with Pastor tonight. So we're learning. I'm doing better than I used to do. How many of you are doing better than you used to do? Just keeping the doors closed to the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can't override. You can't, mix. You can't, follow. What am I trying to say? You can't exercise faith against the leading of the Spirit. Tell your neighbor as you go, you can't exercise faith. Or say it this way, you can't separate faith from the leading of the Spirit. Amen. Well, I just don't know what the Holy Ghost is saying. Well, it's a little like out in any desert, some guy's dying of thirst. Usually, it doesn't, it's different depths at different places. Just a few hundred feet under his feet is water. Amen. Well, I don't know what God's saying. If you'll just dip a little deeper. If you just go a little deeper, there's the knowing down on the inside. And a lot of times you got to get quiet. Turn off the news and the noise and the jabberbox and the... Learn to get quiet. The Lord said to me one time, I'm trying to close. He said, if you'll go to sleep in my presence and in my word, rather than checking up the news before you go. And I don't mean it's wrong to check up the news before you go to sleep, but he said, if you'll go to sleep in my presence, in my word, he said, there'll be things stir in your spirit during the nighttime. And even sometimes he said, you'll have dreams. And I'll talk to you and show you. Praise God. Amen. But you got to give the Holy Ghost that kind of reverence for him to talk to you like that or bear witness with you. Amen.